Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I do want to say this program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And I especially want to thank, I received just within 3 or 4 hours several donations from people who'd given before. And definitely when people, you know, just on an ongoing basis just continue to support the show, it's definitely very encouraging. So I especially want to thank them for their longtime support. Tracy, Robert, Aaron, and Michael, thanks so much, and we'll send along any appropriate extras. And now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. We continue on with The Confidential Matter, Parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Hector, Mr. Dollar.
Hector?
Hector Nerkley, at the Drakeley Arms Apartments. You were here night before last inquiring about the late Mr. Morgan.
Oh, yes, I remember. What can I do for you, Mr. Nerkley?
Oh, it's really quite the other way around.
All right, what can you do for me?
Well, I can give you some very interesting information, if you care to come over here.
Why can't you give it to me on the phone?
I'll tell you exactly why, Mr. Dollar, when you come over.
Oh, for the love of
temper,
Pete.
Temper.
And why not? A month ago, the best friend I had in the world drove his car off a cliff into the Pacific. And his body's still out there in the ocean somewhere. It's never been recovered.
Mr. Dollar?
Then it turns out he was $80,000 short in his accounts. I can't find the money, you know, the woman he was running around with before his death. I can't find out anything. And now if I want some... All right, I'll be there in 30 minutes.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location San Francisco, to the home office, Eternity Mutual Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, The Confidential Matter. Expense account continued. Item 9, $1.70, taxi from my hotel to the Drakeley Arms Apartments. A snooty high-priced joint where Ed Morgan had lived during the last 4 months of his life. Ed Morgan. A pipe-and-slippers bachelor who'd suddenly and strangely turned to champagne cocktails and high living. Who, as head of an insurance claims office, had found a way of swindling his employer out of $80,000 in 4 months. And who died a month ago as mysteriously as he'd lived. This was the man who at the moment was my assignment. Whose past I was supposed to uncover. And he was also the man who'd been my lifelong friend.
Well, good evening, Mr. Dollar. My, you did make excellent time.
Now, look, if this turns out to be a runaround, so help
temper?
Me out. All right. You said you had some very important information that couldn't be discussed over the phone.
Well, it could have been discussed, of course. But, well, this information has to do with one of our guests, Mr. Dollar. A certain lovely young widow whom you seemed most concerned about the last night.
Nikki Barrett.
Quite.
Has she come back? Is she here?
I'm afraid not.
Then what is it?
First, I must ask you what your intentions are toward Mrs. Barrett.
Well, I'm not going to marry her.
Please, I hardly thought you were.
All right, then what's the point?
Simply this. I happen to be in a position to put you in touch with Mrs. Barrett.
You know where she's hiding out?
Hiding out?
All right, I'll drop the implication. You know where she is.
I do.
Well, then let's have it.
Why do you wish to find her?
Because she's the only lead I've got on the Morgan case. She and Ed were thicker than thieves during the 4 months before his death. And she was with him the night he was killed. Earlier in the evening, at least.
Are you going to have her arrested?
No. I just want to ask her some questions. I've got no case against her. Not yet, at least.
Mr. Dollar, can I depend upon you in one very important respect?
What's that?
Under no circumstances must you let Mrs. Barrett know that I told you where she is.
What's the matter? Afraid the board of directors would bust you to bellhop and strip off your gardenia?
That is not amusing. Nor too improbable, as a matter of fact. After all, the watchword of the Drakely Arms is discretion.
Yeah, well, all right. It's a deal. I won't tell her.
Of course, there is one more little detail.
Oh, now what?
Well, the last time you requested information from me, Mr. Dollar, you were kind enough and generous enough. Well, really, this is a bit awkward.
What is it, Hector? Is the gardenia fund getting low?
Well, you did say, as I recall, that it was merely an item in an expense account.
All right. Here's another $20.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now, what about Nikki Barrett?
Well, we just received a letter from Mrs. Barrett. She asks that her mail be forwarded to her in care of American Express, Panama City, Panama.
Item 10, $20, gratuity. Item 11, $388.45, hotel, some telegrams, incidentals in San Francisco, and plane fare to Panama. I'd sent wires ahead before I left the States, but it wasn't until after I'd cleared customs and was heading for the American Express office that I was certain the messages had produced any results.
Dispensame, por favor.
Yeah?
You are Senor Johnny Dollar from the Estados, no?
That's right.
Capitan Garcia Ramulio of the Panama Federal Police, as sus ordines,
senor. Oh, glad to know you, Captain.
I am honored, senor. We have received your telegram, and I have been instructed to cooperate with you. Very intensive.
Well, it may take just that. Now, about the woman I described in the telegram.
The Senora Barrett. Oh, Santa Madre, what a beautiful woman.
So I've heard.
You have not had the pleasure of acquainting her?
Not yet.
The best of your life is before you in that case.
Then I'll speed up and get to it. So you've already located her, huh?
Oh, but of course, senor. She has not changed her name, as you think, perhaps. So it was most simple.
Good. Glad it didn't cause you too much trouble.
Trouble? Senor, merely to gaze upon such a one is worth a lifetime of trouble.
Which is exactly what it cost a couple of guys I know.
Such eyes, such hair, such lips,
yeah.
Such...
Yeah, well, what do you say we...
Forgive me, senor, I am carried away with it.
Well, where is this living little doll staked out at the moment?
She is registered at the Hotel Primeso, room 17.
Hotel Primeso?
This is not the most unusual, I think.
What do you mean?
The Primeso is one hotel very small, which is located on the waterfront. It's most for sailors, fishermen.
I see.
The beautiful tourista one would think to find in a hotel of more elegance.
She may be deliberately staying away from the tourist belt.
Quien sabe, senor. Who can tell the reasons of a woman?
Yeah. Is she living there alone?
So I have been informed. You expect someone with her?
I don't know what to expect. I don't even know why she came here. I'm moving in blind.
See, life is most difficult at times.
You didn't talk to her, did you? Let her know you were checking on her?
Please, senor.
I'm sorry, Captain. I had to be sure.
She is most entirely without suspicions.
Good, good. Well, I suppose I'd better check into a hotel first.
Then what are your plans, senor?
I don't know exactly. I'll talk to her, try to get some answers. And from there on, I'll just have to call it as I go.
I hope this lovely lady has not involved in some serious crime.
I hope not, too. But I wouldn't bet much on it. Item 12, $8. Taxi, flat rate for the rest of the day. And by the time I checked into a hotel and showered and changed, the rest of the day didn't have long to go. The Hotel Promesa was on the waterfront, as Captain Garcia had said, and some distance from town. But although it wasn't a tourist trap, neither was it quite the sailor's flophouse I'd been led to expect. It was built native style with bamboo shutters and wide verandas, half buried in a thicket of mango and banana. $5 bought me the desk clerk's undying affection, and 2 minutes later I stood unannounced at the door of room 17.
Just a minute. It's about time. I ordered that ice at least a... I thought you were the bellboy.
No. The name is Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar.
Mind if I come in, Mrs. Barrett?
What for?
Well, it would be more comfortable than trying to talk out here in the veranda.
What is it you want to talk about?
A friend of mine. Name of Ed Morgan.
All right. Come on in. Sit down, Mr. Dollar.
Thanks.
I'd offer you a drink, but there's no ice. In this kind of heat.
I don't care for a drink, thanks.
You'd think it would cool off after the sun goes down, but it doesn't. At least not very much. Sometimes a breeze comes up from the... What are you staring at, Mr. Dollar?
You.
Why?
I'd had such glowing reports about you that I was sure they were exaggerated. They weren't.
Thanks. And did you come all the way down here just to check those glowing reports?
How do you know I came all the way down here?
What do you mean?
Maybe I live here.
No. I've heard of you before. Ed, Mr. Morgan used to talk about you.
Was it Ed or Mr. Morgan?
You don't miss much, do you?
I try not to.
It was Ed, as you undoubtedly knew.
Yes, I knew. But I wasn't sure why.
Why?
Why he lost his head. Now that I've seen you, I can understand. Who wouldn't?
Oh, please. I'd rather not talk about it, Mr. Dollar. Ever since that terrible accident, there's been only one thing I've wanted. To forget.
Well, I'm sorry to have to bring up unpleasant memories, Mrs. Barrett, but I've got to ask you some questions.
There's nothing...
The night of his death, what time did he leave you?
What do you mean?
You were together earlier in the evening. You left the bar at the Drakeley Arms together at 9 o'clock, but shortly after midnight, when Ed ran his car off a cliff into the Pacific, he was apparently alone.
We went to dinner, then he brought me back to the apartment house. He was going to Half Moon Bay to see a client. That's why he happened to be on that road. I don't want to talk about it, Mr. Dollar. It's horrible to think of him dying that way. His body's still out there in the ocean somewhere. That's why I came down here. To get away and try to forget.
Then you thought quite a lot of him, huh?
We were going to be married.
I see. Well, it's too bad it didn't work out with all the wealth Ed had and the beauty you have.
Well, I had the idea that he just worked for an insurance company.
And lived the way he did? Oh, come now, Mrs. Barrett.
Well, actually, I didn't really consider it. My husband had left me quite well off.
How long were you married before he died?
Only 10 months.
Well, you do have bad luck, don't you?
I don't think this attitude of yours...
Relax. Here, have a cigarette.
I don't smoke.
Oh? Do you mind if I do?
No, of course not.
Thanks. Do you have a suite here, Mrs. Barrett, or just this one room?
Just this room. Why?
Oh, and then this door must lead to the bath.
What do you think you're doing?
Empty, huh?
Of course it's empty.
Uh-huh. Then the other possibility is that closet.
Stay away from there.
When I came in, there was cigarette smoke in the air, stubs in the ashtray.
There's no one here. Stay away from there.
Oh, look, Mrs. Barrett, turning out the lights may be romantic, but it's not the idea of...
What? You...
I was still conscious but groggy, and I couldn't seem to get off the floor. I heard someone moving, heard the door to the veranda open and close. I shook my head, tried to clear it. I finally staggered to my feet and found the light switch. Nikki Barrett was cowering back against the wall, staring at me, scared but not saying anything. I stumbled toward the door. The veranda was empty. There was no sign of movement in the shadows. So there was somebody hiding in that closet.
No, there wasn't anybody here. I'm the one who hit you.
You'd have to have a fist three times your size.
It's true.
Forget it. I know the game now. I should have known it a lot sooner.
You're wrong.
There's only one person in this world who tears cigarettes apart and shreds the paper that way.
No!
The two of you, in on it together. They didn't find his body because there wasn't anybody to find. He's still alive. He was right here in this room. That was Ed Morgan. Johnny Dollar.
This is Capitan Garcia Ramulio of the Panama Federal Police.
Good. Your sergeant said he could locate you in a matter of minutes.
I am never lost from contact, senor. You have talked with a beautiful turista, no?
I have talked with her, yes, and I ended up getting socked in the jaw.
These Americano women are so very much athletics.
No, she didn't hit me. It was a guy who was hiding out in a closet.
See, I understand, senor.
Somehow I doubt it. Look, Garcia, it was the man I came down here to question her about. I'm sure of it.
Senor, you have told me...
Yeah, I know. Apparently his death was faked. I think he's here, hiding out somewhere in Panama City. Do you think you can find him?
When my men make the search, senor, even a little dog could not escape.
Then go to it. His name is Ed Morgan, but he may be using another one. The charge is embezzlement.
You know his description, senor?
I ought to. He's been one of my best friends for years. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Panama, to the home office, Eternity Mutual Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the confidential matter. Expense account continued. Item 14, $12.85, telegram to Hartford, advising them that the case had turned in a completely new direction. I'd taken the case with the idea of digging up a man's past, a man who had been one of my best friends, of finding out why, after a life of complete honesty and loyalty to his company, he had suddenly gone wrong and embezzled $80,000. I'd found out that part of the why was probably a lovely young widow named Nikki Barrett. But I'd found out more. The man we'd thought dead, who'd supposedly drowned when his car went off a cliff into the Pacific Ocean, was still alive. So now it was a matter of filing charges, requesting extradition for Panama, and of course, capturing the fugitive. That I left to Captain Garcia for the moment and went to bed. When I came down to breakfast the next morning, I still hadn't heard back from Garcia. But I did get a return engagement from my little playmate of the night before.
Good morning, Johnny.
Oh, well. Good morning, Mrs. Barrett.
I came into town early especially to see you.
Why? A deep concern as to whether I survived that sock in the jaw?
No. No concern, really. I imagine you have a pretty tough jaw. Do you mind if I sit down?
If you promise not to double up your fist.
I can explain that, Johnny.
With all night to think about it? Yeah, I bet you can. How about some breakfast?
I don't really.
They got a special this morning, fried fish and papaya.
Oof.
Tastes even worse than it sounds.
No, I'll just have some coffee.
That we already have. Sugar, cream?
Just black. Thank you.
All right, you're on. Spin it off.
Well, I'll admit it was silly to claim I was the one who hit you last night.
Of course it was silly. I know who hit me.
You don't.
It was Ed Morgan. He was hiding in the closet in your hotel room.
You're wrong, Johnny. You don't mind if I call you Johnny, do you? I mean, you and Ed were such close friends. I feel I almost know you.
You could be wrong, Mrs. Barrett. I used to think I knew Ed until he met you and decided to tap the till for 80 grand. All right, call me Johnny if it gives you more confidence in your act.
It's not an act.
Okay, if you didn't hit me and Ed didn't, then who was it?
Let's just say it was a friend.
He wasn't very friendly to me.
He misunderstood you coming there. He shouldn't have been there himself. He's married. And not that I knew it, though, until last night.
That's not a bad attempt, Mrs. Barrett, at a snow job. But I still don't buy it. Better drink your coffee.
Johnny, Ed was drowned in San Francisco when his car ran off into the ocean. He's dead.
How can he be dead in San Francisco and still be tearing up cigarettes in Panama?
I did that.
You don't even smoke.
But the man who was there last night does. And I tore the cigarettes in that peculiar way. I picked up the habit from Ed. I just did it absent-mindedly, I guess.
Now, this gets better as it goes along.
Well, I'm not lying. It's true.
No, I mean this fish and papaya. I guess you just have to get used to the mixture.
Oh, please, Johnny.
You're not even touching your coffee.
If I drink it, will you please listen to me?
I am listening to you. I just don't believe you.
Look, we all make mistakes. Last night, you made a guess. You thought that was Ed, but you were wrong. So why be stubborn about it and cause a lot of unnecessary trouble? Let's forget it and be friends.
Can't afford it, sweetie. I haven't got that kind of money.
Do you think I sell my friendship?
It cost Ed $80,000 of the company's money.
No.
How much of that did you get? Half of it?
No.
More than half of it?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
How much does he have left
now? Stop it! Stop saying such things.
All right.
Can't you understand? Once and for all, Ed isn't here. Nor anywhere else. He's dead.
No, he isn't. But I wish to heaven he were.
What do you mean?
Just that.
But he was your friend.
That's right. He was my friend. When I heard about his accident, heard he'd been killed, it hit hard. It hurt plenty. And I guess it hurt even more when I learned he'd been stealing from the company.
Johnny.
So I took the job of digging into the mess and trying to find some answers. I didn't want the job, didn't want any part of it, but I took it anyway. Somebody had to do it. And he had been my friend once. And then I find out he's still alive.
No,
see,
Johnny.
So that means now I've got to catch him and take him back to stand trial. And that's going to be even tougher than facing his death and the fact he was a crook.
If Ed were alive, you'd take him back? Help send him to prison like any other common criminal?
That's what he is, isn't he?
But he was your friend.
Oh, skip it. You wouldn't understand.
I might, if you'd let me try.
The only thing you're trying to do, Mrs. Barrett, is to con me into thinking I might possibly be wrong. Thinking maybe it was somebody else in your room last night.
I told you.
The idea is to throw me off balance just long enough so the two of you can make a run for it. Nice try, only it won't work, so knock it off.
Ed and I were going to be married, Johnny, and the shock of his death...
I said skip it.
Ed used to talk about you. He told me you were this way, hard and cold and ruthless.
Then he has no excuse. He knew what to expect.
But I didn't believe it. I didn't think anyone could
be... Buenos dias, senor.
Oh, good morning. I don't believe you've met my companion.
I have not been so fortunate, senor.
This is Captain Garcia of the Panama Police, Mrs. Barrett.
Hello. I'm
greatly honored, senora.
Might be a good idea to take a careful look at her, Garcia. You will probably be arresting her in the next day or so as an accomplice to fraud.
Let us hope such regrettable necessity is not happen.
Thank you, Captain. I'm sure it won't. Mr. Dollar has a rather boorish sense of humor.
I comprehend, senora. Mr. Dollar, it is possible, perhaps, that I speak a little with you.
Yeah, sure. I imagine Mrs. Barrett will be happy to excuse me at this point.
Hasta la vista, senora.
Remember, Johnny, he was your friend.
I did not wish to mention this matter before the senora.
Oh?
I think it's better she is not here.
Hear what? Have you turned up something?
Si, senor. I have tell you, not even the little dog can hide from Garcia.
So?
We have located this man, Ed Morgan.
I got into the police car with Captain Garcia, and we drove out of town and followed the shoreline for about 6 miles. Then we pulled up near a cluster of rickety wharves built around the edge of a tiny inlet. There were numerous native fishing boats tied against the pilings, but no village, no shacks, nor any other sign of a habitation. Garcia cut the motor and lit a cigarette.
Pues aquí estamos. Here we are, senor.
Here? He's hiding out here?
Si, senor. He live on one of the little fishing boats which are tied to the wharf. The number 3 one there, which is blue painted, you see?
Yeah, I see it. Well, a place like this would be safer than a hotel. You're pretty sure it's him?
Pues, Miguel Runesto, who is on the boat, said this man come out here 1 month ago. He pay Miguel much money just to live on the boat, tie up at shore. And he is like you describe, senor. I think so is him.
All right. I'll go on board and talk to him. And I think I'd better go along, Garcia.
Whatever you wish, senor. I wait for you here.
Okay. Ed? Ed Morgan. Ed? I know you're here, so you might as well answer.
The cabin's unlocked. Come on down.
Been a long time, Ed.
Yeah, it has. Sorry the place is so littered up. Temporary quarters, you understand. Sit down.
Thanks.
Johnny, why did it have to be you?
It had to be somebody, Ed, sooner or later. You should have known that.
But not you. How'd you get onto me?
I traced Mrs. Barrett down here. I thought you were dead until last night.
She wasn't supposed to show here for 6 months. Last week, here she was. Couldn't wait.
Why did you do it, Ed?
You wouldn't understand. You've always had dames crazy about you without lifting a hand. But not me. This face always stopped him. Sure, I used to laugh about it, but... Well, you just wouldn't understand.
And this woman was different, is that it?
Nikki fell as hard as I did. I didn't know women like her even existed. She's for me all the way.
Is she worth the price tag? $80,000?
Cut it, Johnny. It's not that way. It's just that Nikki had always lived well, and I had to live that way, too, in order to be around her. I got in further and further, and finally I was in too deep to pull out.
Did she know you were stealing from the company?
Not at first. The blame's all mine, Johnny, not hers.
You picked your own apple, is that it?
Call it that. And I didn't spend all that money. We decided to get out of the country, start a new life together. I figured I'd need that much.
And Nikki agreed to that plan?
Sure. That's why she's here. She sold out and came on down.
Only she didn't, Ed. She still has her apartment in San Francisco.
You're wrong, Johnny. She sold her furniture, her clothes, everything.
The stuff is all there, Ed. I saw it.
You're lying, Johnny. She pulled stakes. She told me.
Okay, she told you. I guess you know why I'm here.
I know why you think you're here. Hold it, Johnny. Don't move. I've had this gun on you since you came on board.
I know you have. But I wonder if you'd really use it.
Don't try to find out. And don't tell me I'm in a spot. I know that. But I'm going on as far as I can. And if I have to kill to do it, then I'll kill.
Maybe I could have stopped him. Maybe he wouldn't have fired. I don't know. And for one reason or another, I didn't feel much like finding out. I let him go. He backed out of the cabin hatch and bolted it on the outside. I heard him cross the deck and run along the wharf. And I waited for Garcia to call out to challenge him. The only sound was a car motor starting up and speeding away. Then I heard somebody come running down the wharf.
Senor Dollar!
Get the door open, Garcia. Where is he? What happened?
He take the car, senor. It's me to blame. I am not alert. Before I know it,
never mind. Where's the nearest telephone?
2 miles, senor.
2 miles? How do we get there?
But how else, senor? We walk?
Now, here is our star to tell you about tomorrow's final episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, fate plays a devil's tune, collects a payment long overdue, and the music ends on a scream. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Hugh Brundage speaking.
Welcome back. Well, clearly this is a case that weighs very heavily on Johnny. It's just, you know, and I think everyone can kind of relate to where he's at here, because he thought he knew Ed Morgan, and now it's just really, you really feel for Johnny in this situation, because his whole view has been turned upside down. It almost in some ways feels like he's just kind of going on the sense of duty. That's kind of all he can fall back on at this point. All right, well, on to some listener comments and feedback, and we'll go ahead and share some of these from Michael, who says, I listen to your podcast on my iPod every day while walking my dog. Like many of your listeners, my current favorite is Johnny Dollars. Although I also enjoyed The Adventures of the Abbots, and I'm looking forward to Vincent Price as the Saint. Thanks for all you do, Mike. Well, thanks so much, Mike. And that is coming up later on the season of it, The Saint with Vincent Price. And if you did enjoy The Abbots, we'll eventually get into Mr. and Mrs. North, as well as It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, which are two somewhat similar series, though not identical. And then we have a comment from Aaron, who says, "Hi, Adam, I really love the show. Thanks for the work you do bringing these shows to us." Well, thanks so much, Aaron. I truly appreciate your support and your kind comments. All right, well, we will be back tomorrow with Nick Carter, and then on Friday, we'll wrap up the confidential matter. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.